Bible Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Friday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And we are fresh off of Share-a-thon, Spring Share-a-thon 2024. We had a great 3 days. And I have not yet heard figures or anything like that, but I know we had lots of great participation. And just as you heard from Tim Wildman, a great big thank you. I want to say thank you also to all those who participated. It's a joy to participate in Share-a-thon and to partner with American Family Association, American Family Radio. Well, I wanted to read to you from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. The Apostle Peter says this, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Set him apart as Lord, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame." And we talk about that often on this program, how you live, your shine. John says in 1 John chapter 1, "This is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Now, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." How do you live the Christian life? It's a walk in the light with the Lord. It's not hiding sins in the corner and in the shadows and living a duplicitous life. It's bringing everything out in the light and living with integrity. Nothing to hide, a great definition of integrity. Nothing to hide and nothing to fear. Everything is out in the open, out in the light with the Lord. You're dealing with sin. Romans chapter 8, "But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." That's how we live the Christian life. I'm starting a brand new sermon series this Sunday at First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, titled "Before There Were Kings." It's a study on the book of Judges. And the key verse in Judges, "And there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own sight, in his own eyes." And so Judges is a disaster book. It's a book of failure. And it's a broken record of they would get complacent. They would neglect the word of God. They would not obey God. And what happens? Well, disobedience brings discipline, and they would be disciplined by the Canaanites who lived in the land, who weren't supposed to be living in the land, but they let them stay there. And then those Canaanites would subjugate God's people, and God's people would cry out for the Lord for forgiveness, and they would repent, and God would raise up a judge, and the judge would deliver them, and then there would be peace, and then they repeated the process. You know, Christianity, I've said this for a long time, Christianity doesn't do well in prosperity. It does well in adversity, because we all have a tendency, and Deuteronomy chapter 8 talks about this. The Lord said, beware, because when you're living in the land and everything is going great, beware lest you forget me. We have a tendency to forget God, as Robert Robinson said in that tremendous hymn, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love." That is in you, that is in me, that's in every Christian. We just have this fight internally that we stay connected to the Lord, that we stay walking in the light with him, and that we don't get complacent and start to drift. You know, we're going against the current of the world, and the moment that you quit moving forward, you don't stay still, you start to go backward, because there is this current from the world, and the devil is trying to squeeze you, as it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and Perfect. Well, we did something Wednesday night at First Baptist Texarkana that it's the second time we've done this. It's a lot of fun, and the people seem to really like it. It's a night where we call it Ask Pastor Jeff. And so just whatever's on the mind, the heart of church members, they can ask me a question on any subject. And we had some people that emailed their questions in and others that just asked live from the floor, so to speak. And we just had a wonderful time. You know, I definitely don't know all the answers to all the questions people have, but I try and say, okay, what does the Bible say? Where can you find that? So 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account of the hope that is in you. Yet you do that with gentleness and reverence. Now, it's very important, especially in these days in which we live, that we know what we believe and why we believe what we believe. You go back to the source, back to the scripture. This is why I believe X about the world, about culture, about God, because of what the Bible teaches. And so that old Farrell and Farrell song, you got to find it in the Word. Acts 17:11, speaking of the Bereans, all Christians need to be Berean-like. But these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. When the Apostle Paul preached, they listened eagerly. They had an open mind, an open heart to receive. But then they would go back and they would look to see, is what he's saying in the scripture, is this true? I tell our church all the time, listen, when you come to church, examine the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so. Check me out and check out any teacher that you hear to make sure that what they're saying is true. Now, the old saying is really spot on. If it's new, it's not true. If you've been in church your whole life in a good, solid, Bible-believing church, and you've listened to solid Bible teaching for years and years and years and years, and you hear something that you say, I've never heard that before, that should be a huge red flag that goes up. Because general rule of thumb, if it's new, it's not true. And what I found is guys, especially seminary guys, seminary professors, they like to come up with something new, something that nobody's thought of before, some nuance in the scripture that nobody's seen before, and they come up with something so that they can write a book, so that they can lecture about it or whatever. But you got to ask yourself, well, okay, nobody's ever seen that before. None of the great minds throughout all of Christendom have ever seen this little piece of truth that you're coming up with. Maybe it's because it's not there. And so much of the time, listen, and this is primarily for pastors and for all laity. When you come to church, church is not necessarily a time that, hey, I'm coming to hear something I've never heard before. No, it's a time where you're reminded of things that you have heard before, but hey, guess what? You've forgotten, or you've put that on the back burner. You need to be reminded of this. Peter said in the last chapter he ever wrote, 2 Peter chapter 3, this is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. I'm trying to help you remember, because you have a tendency to forget. I have a tendency to forget. That's why Deuteronomy chapter 8, the Lord says, hey, when you come into the land, be careful that you don't forget me. The Lord is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks and of water, of fountains and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And when you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Deuteronomy 8:11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Man, we have a tendency to do that. When everything's going great, we forget God. And we must remember that everything we have, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. We owe everything to God. And so we come before the Lord every day as we have a quiet time. What's the quiet time to do? To remind us of God's grace, God's mercy, God's love. Remind us of the cross and the empty tomb. Remind us of the fact that God is the God of the impossible. God can do anything in our lives. To help us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, to remind us of the hope that we have in Jesus. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 is one of my favorite verses, and it says this: Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, we had this great time on Wednesday night where it's just Ask Pastor Jeff, and as whatever question was on a person's heart, it's not called Stump Pastor Jeff. It's not we want to ask some obscure question about the scripture. I already know the answer, but this is a quiz. It's not a quiz. This is to say, hey, I'm not sure about this answer, and Pastor, what do you say? What is your interpretation of this verse, or what do you say about this? What do you say about that? Because I'd really like to learn and grow. That's the purpose of it. And I got that from John MacArthur. He does a Q&A in his church. He's done it for years, and I listen on the Grace to You website, these Q&As. I love them. Now, John is, he's a wealth of knowledge and just learning, you know, all those years of just studying the scripture and studying commentaries on the scripture. So he has a lot to bring to the table. But I just love that dialogue that he has with his church. And I learned a lot. How do you answer these questions about eternal security and things like this, you know, related to issues of the gifts of the Spirit or those types of things, miracles, and how do we understand these things, demonic possession, you know, all these questions that people have, and how do you live the Christian life, and what do you do when you fail, things like that. And so we want to open the phone lines early today, 888-589-8840, that's 888-589-8840, so that you can ask a question, whatever is on your mind and on your heart, a biblical question, how to live the Christian life kind of question, a cultural question that intersects with Christianity. I'd love to hear from you, and hopefully to give you a good, solid biblical answer. You know, good and godly people can disagree on things. We had Jeff Kinley here at First Baptist Texarkana last weekend. He spoke Sunday morning. He spoke Sunday night. He was on the program on Monday morning talking about the second coming. And good and godly people can disagree about the timing of things. We know that Jesus is Lord, and we know that Jesus is coming back. But the big question is, when and how does all that work itself out, and what do we learn from the scripture on eschatology, on future things, on end times? And good and godly people can disagree, and that's okay. We can disagree on spiritual gifts. We can disagree on a number of things, but we agree on the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord, and no one comes to the Father but through him, and we have to come through repentance and faith. And when you repent, turn from sin, and turn to the Savior, you are saved and saved forever. Were you listening to Real Truth for Today? Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Give me a call, and let's talk. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it?
My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and we are opening up the phone lines. If you have a question, I'd love to hear from you and to hopefully give you a good biblical answer to that question. And I just want to share this because this has helped me a lot. There is a website called gotquestions.org, gotquestions.org. They have a ton of questions and answers on their website. And I found them to be very, very solid, very well researched. And so I go there a lot, and I can spend a lot of time on gotquestions.org, just one question after another. What about this? What about this? What about this? But when you have a question like that, that something that's bothering you, I'd encourage you to go there on your own and just say, okay, well, you know, I can get help from a pastor when I can get an opportunity to talk to my pastor, but that's a good good website to go to. Well, the number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we have Jimmy on the line from Arkansas. Jimmy, go ahead.
Taking my call.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Yes, sir. Just a question which kind of came up this morning between me and my wife. We were married in the county courthouse, and we were actually married by the clerk, the justice of the peace. I assume that's what he was. He was absent. And we had one witness. He was my son. The question is, are we married in the eyes of God, or should we do another ceremony? Are we legally married?
And good question, Jimmy. I would think so. You went to the courthouse to do that, and the representative that was at the courthouse performed your ceremony. So I would think that you are, in the eyes of the state, you're legally married. I would encourage you to maybe consider renewing your vows with a pastor, the pastor where you guys go to church, and say, hey, you know, we did this at the courthouse, but we'd like to do this in the church. And it doesn't have to be a big, big affair. It can just be, you two and maybe a couple of witnesses and the pastor. Doesn't have to be really long, but it's just something that, hey, we want to dedicate our lives and our marriage to Jesus and really have his blessing on our marriage. And so we do, Debbie and I, when we do marriage conferences, we often, when it's a group of people that have been married a while, we'll renew vows. And that can be very, very meaningful and special for people. And it's important to do that. Say, hey, I still do. And I want to remember the vows that I made, when we first got married, and just let you know, hey, I'm re-upping because I still want to, as a husband, love you and nourish you and cherish you and be the leader that you need. And as a wife, that I'm going to respect you as my husband and be there and be a helper to you. So I would encourage you that way, but I wouldn't let that gnaw at you like, well, maybe I'm not really legally married, because legally you are married, and so it would take a divorce to get you unmarried. So in the eyes of the Lord, in the eyes of the state, you guys are married. Is that helpful?
I appreciate it. Yes, yeah. Sir, very helpful. Just, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Jimmy. I appreciate you calling in. We have Iris on the line from Texas. Iris, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Great. I have a question that I want to ask you one other about the solar eclipse, about how that went, because I knew you were doing an outreach, and I thought that was awesome. But the bottom line was, my question is, I was reading today a daily reading from the family, from Focus on the Family Bible, and it talked about Jericho, and I was in Israel last year, but my question is, was Jericho ever rebuilt after Joshua put a curse on that city?
Yeah, good question. There was the old Jericho and new Jericho. So old Jericho, to my knowledge, was not rebuilt, but they did have a new Jericho. You know, Jesus came through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. Blind Bartimaeus met him at the gate, and he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And so so there were two Jerichos. But the Lord had cursed Jericho after after the battle in the book of Joshua, and he had given these words. Let me find it in Joshua. I think it's Joshua chapter 6, that it was not to be rebuilt. Let's see here. Joshua laid an oath on them at that time, saying, "Cursed before the Lord be the man who raises up and builds this city Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn shall he lay its foundation, and at the cost of his youngest son shall he set up its gates." And so God put a curse on that city, and those that tried to rebuild it. 1 Kings 16:34 says, in the days of Hiel of Bethel, he built Jericho. He laid its foundations at the cost of Abiram, his firstborn, and set up its gates at the cost of his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Joshua, the son of Nun. So that curse went on the city. So that's the way I understand it, Iris. Did you have a follow-up?
Oh, yes. My other that's excellent, because it we've required a lot of research, and I'm going to put all those pieces together. So thank you for an excellent answer. But how did that go on the solar eclipse when you were reaching out to your community?
Yeah, you know, they...
Because I know we'll never get an answer on it otherwise.
They, you know, they had anticipated this huge swell of people and all our city and all these other cities. And I had read an article that said 1.5 million people were going to descend upon the state of Arkansas and in those areas not too far from Texarkana, that are not designed for a big swell of people like that. There were some people, but not a huge amount like they had anticipated. And we probably had 150 or so in our parking lot, some from out of town, but not a whole lot. And we did make hot dogs and grilled hot dogs. And Tim Wildman was making fun of me because I said we had hot dogs and water for the people. And we did have some chips in there too. But he's like, "Hot dogs and water, things must be tough in Texarkana." But no, we had a good time. And it was, I wasn't one of those that got all jazzed about the eclipse, but it was pretty cool. And so I was glad to get to see it. I was a little hesitant to look too long. You know, if you had your glasses on, you couldn't, and once it started to get a total eclipse, you couldn't see anything. So you had to take your glasses off to see it. But we got some really cool shots. One of the guys in our media department had his camera set up, and he got some really cool shots of the eclipse. So it was a neat experience. I'm glad we got to be a part of that. So God bless you, Iris.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for listening to the program, and thanks for calling in. We have Greg on the line from Kentucky. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. Love your ministry. I listen as often as I can, so thank you.
Thank you, brother.
For your faithfulness.
Thank you.
My question is this. It's a little bit twofold. How do you deal with ministries out there where, let's say you have a teacher and you know that in general, there's some very shaky teaching on what they might be saying on a regular basis. But they may have one teaching, for example, that is as a standalone, it's pretty solid. I tend to just disregard those people, you know, altogether. And I'd like your thoughts on that. And the follow-up, Pastor Jeff, is I'll sometimes get younger brothers bringing to me some of these teachings, and I will tend to give them a warning, a caution. This teaching might be okay, but you need to be very careful in general with what you're taking in from XYZ ministry, whomever that is. How do you handle those situations? I'd love to hear your wisdom on that.
Yeah, great question, Greg. Yeah, so I think I'm leery of guys that are, you know, maybe 50-50. You might get, okay, this teaching is good, but this teaching is off. You know, it would be like going to a restaurant where you're like, well, don't order that, don't order that, don't order that. They do this one thing well, but you never know what you're going to get. And so, you know, it's just the special of the day, and that's what you're getting. I wouldn't want to follow a guy like that. Now, you know, obviously, if you're going to eat a fish, you don't eat the bones. So you eat the meat and you spit out the bones. But if there are a lot of bones in there, you got to be very, very careful. And I'd rather go with somebody that I know, hey, the bulk of what this person says, you know, probably 95% of what they say, I can hang with that. Now, there might be 5% that I'm just like, I'm not sure about that, but it's not a deal breaker issue. As I said, it might be something related to spiritual gifts. It might be something related to eschatology. It's something that good and godly people can disagree on. But I wanna follow the guys, Greg, that are that they believe the scripture. They believe the book of Genesis. You know, one of the things that is so true. If you didn't know anything about science and you just had the Bible, you would never in a billion years come up with evolution. You would say, well, God doesn't teach that in his word. He spoke and it stood fast, just like he said. And so things like that, you know, I want to follow the guys that believe the word, answers in Genesis kind of guys, Ken Ham, that are saying, hey, this is what the scripture says. And, you know, I had a guy ask me in the Q&A, this past Wednesday about science and carbon dating and that kind of thing. And I just said, well, here's the thing. When God made the earth, he made it mature. Just like when he made Adam and Eve on day 6, he made them mature. If you were to talk to Adam on day 7 when God rested and say, hey, Adam, how old are you? He'd say, well, I'm a day old. Well, no way are you a day old. You got to be like 35. No, I'm a day old. So he looked a lot older than he was because he was made mature. When God created the earth, he created it mature. And so how do you date that? It's impossible to date that. And so things like that, Greg, I just have a lot more confidence in people to tell me the truth that are solid from Genesis 1:1 to the end of the book in Revelation. Does that help? You still there, Greg?
I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's how I'd look at that. I would just, I'd want to go to the restaurant that is hitting it out of the park, you know, 9 out of 10 visits rather than the one that's 2 out of 10.
Got it. Thank you.
Hey, you're very welcome, my brother. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Well, we have Becky on the line from North Carolina. Becky, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for putting me on. I feel like it's a blessing because I listen to you guys all the time.
Thank you.
I always hear talk about abortion, pro-life, all this among people, pastors, you know, politicians. But we have never talked about abstinence. And I just wondered what you thought about that. Like, can we talk about abstinence? Because abstinence would prevent a lot of people wanting abortions. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Why we, when I say we, I mean people, why don't we talk about abstinence as we're throwing all this abortion chatter around? And I'm not pointing at your radio station, but just people in general.
Yeah, good question. I think in the church, we talk about that a lot. So Hebrews 13:4, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Fornicators are people who are not married but are having sex. Adulterers are people who are married and having sex with someone outside the marriage covenant. Fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And so with our folks, especially with our teenagers and young people, hey, you don't want to do this. You're going to hurt yourself. There's a reason that God says no to this. He's not saying that, you know, he's not a killjoy. He's not trying to keep sex from you. He's trying to keep sex for you. He's trying to protect it because it's only blessed in the confines of marriage. You know, fire is a wonderful thing in a home, as long as it's in the fireplace. When it gets outside the fireplace, then it'll burn your house down. You know, fire on the draperies is not a great thing. That's like, uh-oh, we're in serious trouble. Fire in the attic is a big, big problem. Your house is coming down. Fire in the fireplace, that is good. Marriage is the fireplace. That's the fireplace that God has set up for sexual intimacy. It's marriage. And that's where you are to reserve that, and that's where that takes place, only between a husband and a wife, and we need to keep that in high honor. But I think one of the things, Becky, that you might hear more about, you know, the abortion issue, when you talk to people outside the church, they are having sex, many of them, and so one of the natural consequences of having you know, unprotected sex is that people are going to get pregnant. And then what do you do? Because life does begin at conception. And so we want to encourage people, hey, yeah, by all means, don't have sex until you're married. And when you have sex and you get pregnant, then that is a life. And you have no right to kill and murder that unborn baby. That baby has a right to live. And you made a choice to have sex. And that's your choice. And you don't have the choice to kill an unborn child, because that child has a life and has been given life from the Lord. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're answering your questions. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you. Becky, thanks for calling in, and God bless you.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and also the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. And as our announcer said, if you would like to connect with me, you can do so by emailing me, PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org, or connecting on Twitter, which is now called X, at Jeff Shreve, JeffShreve. Well, we are taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. It's an Ask Pastor Jeff, just whatever's on your heart, a question that has been on your mind, on your heart, about the Christian life, about the scripture. I may not know the answer, but I'll give it my best shot to help you with that. And we have Lori from Iowa on the line. Lori, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. My question is, I'm a born-again Christian. I had a very colorful life, shall we say, before I became a Christian. But my family is not saved. My kids, only one is saved. And I have tried to witness to them about, and they can see the change in my life. Uh-huh. But And I, for Christmas, sent them several books and my own personal testimony and how I felt God had changed my life. They think I'm crazy and off the wall. I don't want any of my family, I love them, to go through the tribulation or to go to hell. And how can I reach them?
Mm.
And I do pray. I pray all the time. But I have a daughter that's a witch and just,
oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's, yeah. So I don't know how to, I don't know what else to do.
Yeah, well, I think, Lori, you know, there's only so much you can do because you can't make a person believe. So we shine and share. We live the Christian life before family and friends, before the world. You know, when especially with family can be the hardest to witness to, because they know us. You know, you think about, okay, you had a life before Christ that was, not something you're proud of. Well, your siblings saw that, your parents saw that, and I know what you're like. I know what you did here. I know what you did there. You become a Christian, and you tell them, yeah, but they, everything's brand new, and they say, well, sure, yeah, that's right. You're going through a phase or whatever. You're in a cult. You're a nut. You know, those kinds of things. That's what, they may not say that, but that's going through their minds. I had that same thing. I became a Christian when I was 17, and I had a life of drinking and chasing girls and all that stuff. And so, everybody's waiting for, well, how long is this going to last? You know, this is some fad he's in, and parents get concerned that their kids are, you're believing something, you're becoming fanatical, are you in a cult, and that kind of thing. And so I think with family, they just need to see over time your consistency. They need to see that, mom really walks with God. There's the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Jesus, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who always leads us in his triumphant Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. And so when you live it out before them, and then they can smell, so to speak, the presence of the Lord, and they see the love and the joy and the peace, that gets their attention. That's the shine. We talk about shine and share. That's the shine. And I have found, Lori, with family, that you got to be careful on the share. You share with them how the Lord's changed your life, but you don't just do it over and over and over again, because that you will turn them off. That's when they say, you know, I'm getting this stuff crammed down my throat. And so you don't want to do that. You do want to share. But I've found with family, you shine and you let them ask you questions. Well, what do you think about this situation? Well, you're responding in a way different from the way I'm responding. Why? What do you say about the eclipse? Does that mean the Lord is coming back? Whatever kind of questions they might have, wait for them to ask you questions. Obviously, you're praying on a regular basis for your loved ones that God would open their blind eyes to the truth, that he would soften their hearts. Because ultimately, Lori, it comes down to an issue of the heart. And so Jesus said the sower went out to sow, and the seed is the word of God, and some seed fell on the hard pan, and the devil took it away, and some fell on the shallow soil, and it received it quickly, but it didn't count the cost, and so it had no depth of soil. It sprang up, and then it was killed by the sun and the son of persecution he talks about. And then some landed on the thorny soil, and it choked it out. But some of the seed landed on the good soil, and that produced a crop 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold. So we pray that God would be preparing the hearts of our friends, neighbors, loved ones, that their heart would be softened to receive the word, and that the Lord would be making people, I pray this often, God, make that person miserable in his sin, so that they would see that they need Jesus, so that they would come to that prodigal son moment where they come to their senses and they say, why am I here? I had a family member tell me one time, I hate my life, because it was all the drugs and drinking and immorality, and that it always is going to lead to the same spot. It leads to the pigsty.
And so I would encourage you in that way, Lori. And don't get discouraged with that. Just keep shining and keep praying and keep asking the Lord to do a work in that person's heart to bring them to the place where they're asking you, okay, Lori, how did your life change? You have something I don't have. Tell me about it.
Okay. Thank you for your help. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Lori. God bless you. All right, we have Mark on the line from Arkansas. Mark, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, how are you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Oh, I was trying to just to talk about creation and the earth being a young earth, just like the Bible says. Oh, and it's then I got kind of thinking about some other things, but and I guess I'll go to the important thing. So, in Sunday school class, occasionally we'll have one person that says, oh, you know, millions of years ago when the dinosaurs, back when the dinosaurs were here, the dinosaurs died. And you think, okay, how far do we got to go back to the beginning? Now, remember, in the beginning, God. Remember, on the sixth day is when he made the dinosaurs, okay? Mm-hmm. And then Adam was here, and then the flood happened 1,650 years later, and on and on and on. And you think, do we... And I know the school systems has taught this hundreds of millions of years, 4.6 billion on the age of the earth. And since 1950s, the system has taught these people that are now, you know, 70 and years old or so. And I think, as a Sunday school teacher, how important is it that we undo that train of thought?
Yeah.
And just concentrate on their relationship, personal relationship with Christ, and if that's there, then not worry about the rest. How do we, should
yeah,
we?
That's a great question, Mark. I think it's important. I was talking to Jeff Kinley about this when he was here, you know, the Prophecy Pro, and he said, you know, the enemy attacks Genesis, and he attacks Revelation. He says, Adrian Rogers used to say this, the devil will tell you that Genesis is myth and Revelation is mystery, and you stay out of both books because we don't read about the devil in the first two chapters of Genesis, and you don't read about the devil, there is no devil, in the last two chapters of Revelation, and the devil hates both Genesis and Revelation, and he's going to attack those books, and he's done a good job attacking those books. It does matter what we believe about creation, because it matters what you believe about the Word of God. Can you trust the Word of God? And, you know, those people who try and say, well, there's no contradiction between billions of years and what the Bible says. You know, it all depends on what yom in Hebrew, a day, you know, a day could be a long period of time. Well, based on the fact that the Lord uses that in Exodus chapter 20, and he talks about 6 days you shall labor and the seventh day you shall rest, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested. He's not talking about a geological time period. He's talking about a day, a 24-hour day. And so it's important that we believe the scripture. And if we have people laugh at us and say, well, you're an idiot if you believe, not only an idiot. William Lane Craig basically said that. You know, obviously, science has proven that the earth is way older than what the Bible says. Well, Ken Ham rightly called him out. And William Lane Craig has done great work in defending the faith. But Ken Ham's like, no. That's not what the Bible says, and we can trust the Word of God. And obviously, the earth looks older than it is, because as I said earlier, God made it mature. And so to try and date the earth with carbon dating and all these things, that's difficult. You have a lot of presuppositions in there that everything has to be uniform and go in a line. Well, it doesn't. Creation just boom, just came. Well, you can't date that. And nobody was there except the one who wrote about it, and that is God. And God told Moses, this is how I did it. I spoke and it stood fast. And so I would encourage Mark, as you teach young people, to let them know that, hey, we can trust the Word of God, and this is what the Bible says. You know, science has no, they have no answer to, well, how did all this start? If you say, you know, that there is no God, Well, the formula nobody times nothing equals everything is ridiculous. That doesn't make sense at all. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And how did he do it? Just like he said. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. So God bless you, my brother. I'm with you on a young earth.
Thank you much. Take care. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you. We have Dan on the line from Pennsylvania. Dan, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, thank you, Brother Jeff. I really enjoy your program. We're fairly new to listening to you, but longtime listeners to AFR.
Well, thank you.
My question is, I'd like to hear your comments. There's a lot of disagreement, it seems, and even within our church, or at least with my view. I'd like to know what you think about when Jesus turned the water into wine. Was that an alcoholic wine or a non-alcoholic wine? It seems to me from the context that it is an alcoholic wine created, as you said earlier, in a full maturity. But I wanted to know what you thought.
Yeah. A great question, Dan. They're good. That's another one of those things good people can disagree. Here's where I come from. Okay, so they drank wine in New Testament times, and it was diluted tremendously with water. And so, the Bible says in Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs 23, do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup. At last, it stings like a serpent or stings like a viper and bites like a serpent. So there is a difference between the fermented alcoholic wine versus the fruit of the vine, with the grape juice, and that was cut. So I think with cut with water. So I think that Jesus made the best tasting wine that they had ever tasted. It was from grapes, so they knew what this was. This is juice from the grape. Whether or not it was fermented, that is the question. But if it were fermented, it was going to be diluted so much with water that as far as getting intoxicated by wine, that kind of wine, you would have to drink so much of it to do that. And so the Lord's word says, wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. The Lord wouldn't provide something for us that, hey, here's a case of Jack Daniels that I'm bringing to your wedding as a gift. We wouldn't do that as Christians. The Lord of glory wouldn't do that as a wedding present. So I think that we look at it in our context and we say, okay, how does that work? But I think in their context, there wasn't anything that would be like, whoa, I don't think you should do that, Jesus. It wasn't anything like that. And it was the drink of the day. They drank wine. And so they would take the grape juice and ferment it or not, and they would cut it with a lot of water, 3-1 or maybe even 10-1. And I have a friend of mine, Brumbelow, I can't remember his first name now, but he wrote a book, Wine in the Bible, and he makes his case why he thinks it's non-alcoholic wine. And anyway, Ancient Wine in the Bible, I think, is what he calls it. It's a good read, so I encourage you to get a copy of that. Well, Jay, I'm sorry we didn't get to you, but I appreciate you calling in, and thank you to all the listeners. David Brumbelow is his name, Ancient Wine in the Bible, and so you can check that out on some Amazon or wherever. But thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today, and it's a joy for me, Pastor Jeff Shreve, to get to speak to you every morning. I look forward to you having a great weekend, and for me personally to have a great weekend, and then to be back with you on Monday. So go out, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.